This morning and bring your message. You, the scripture before, but never like this, and never heard it like this. So I'm going to try to bring you a message this morning from Luke chapter 14. Begin reading with verse number 16. Luke chapter 14 and begin reading with verse number 16. Now, I want to preach this morning on the subject, three men who insulted God. Three men who insulted God. You say, Pastor, how in the world could a little bitty, finite, sinner man insult a holy God? Well, I'm going to show you this in the Bible. These three men represent all of mankind. Out there in the world this morning, there's people that fall into one of these three categories. Three men who insulted God. Look at verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. Remember that. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Now ready. Everything's ready. And they all, with one consent, begin to make excuse. Notice the word make. They did not have an excuse. They made an excuse. Can I tell you that this morning? You don't have an excuse. You can make one, but you don't have one. They had to make something up. Nobody in here has an excuse not to serve God. I don't care what happened to you 5 years ago. I don't care how bad you got your feelings hurt. I don't care if your wife left you, you lost your job, you got sick. There is no excuse for you not to serve God. Amen? Sometimes you say, well, now you just don't know what happened. I don't care what happened to you. There is no excuse. Look at here. Look down there at verse number 18, the middle of it. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have an excuse. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have an excuse. And another said, I have married a wife. Somebody said he's the only one that really had an excuse. His wife wouldn't let him go. And therefore, I cannot come. That's what he said. I cannot come. She won't let me. All right. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, what does that next part say? Being angry. He got mad. He got insulted. He was insulted. This man typifies God in this story, in this parable. He was angry. Said, go out quickly in the streets and lanes of the city, bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And then I'm going to read some more of that tonight. So you don't want to miss that. But I want to focus on these three men this morning, where it said these three men, according to the Bible, insulted God. Have you ever been insulted? An insult when somebody just absolutely disrespects you, lays it regard of what you ask of them or one of them treated them. How could a person disrespect or insult God Almighty? It's an awful thing to insult God. You know why it's an awful thing to insult God? Because of who He is. He's not just a leader, a world power. He is God Almighty, the source of all life and strength and blessings and everything on this planet. It's an awful thing to insult God because of what He's done. You know what God did? God made everything. He made every star, every planet. He made the world and everything that's in it. He made rocks and trees and flowers and us. God made everything. And we are going to stand up to Him and say, I was busy Sunday. Who in the world do we think we are? We're going to stand up to that God, the God that made the planets and the sun and the moon and say, sorry, Lord, I went on a picnic. I didn't feel like coming to church. Imagine what an awful thing it is to insult God. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I know we're Americans and thank God for our freedoms and our liberties. I love the mountains. Listen, brother, I wouldn't want to live no other place. If I ever had to move, and I hope I don't, but if I ever had to move, I'd rather live further back in the mountains. Amen. I love mountains. I love scenery. I think the coast is pretty and all of that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you right now, we have an obligation first to put God first in our lives. And it's an insult to Him when we put everything and everybody in front of Him. I know what some of you do this summer. I mean, you'll go to the mountains to see the scenery. You'll go to the beach and be the scenery. But I'll tell you something. It won't work with God. Say amen about that. Ain't that right? I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, it's an awful thing to insult God because of what He's done. It's an awful thing to insult God because all He did is let His only Son let Him beat nails in His hand and beat Him to death so me and you could have a church to come in and worship. It's an awful thing to insult Him. It's an awful thing. People say, well, I ain't done nothing bad enough to go to hell. You've insulted the Creator of the universe and said, thanks but no thanks. Thank you for dying for me, but I'd rather go to the races this evening. I'd rather go somewhere else. It's an awful thing to insult God. It's an awful thing. It's an awful thing. It's an awful thing because of His great power. You know God decides who lives and who dies? You know that anytime He wants to, I got a lamp in there in my office. I couldn't get it on a while ago, and I plugged it in, turned it on, and it's got one of these little things in the wire, like a little box, and you have to turn that little switch. Why they put two switches on them, I have no idea. And I turned that switch, but then I had the other one off, and so I had to turn it back on. You have to figure out which ones to have both go on at the same time. Then the light come on. And anytime I want to, I can go in there and just punch that button. That light goes out. Did you know that's how God has your life? He's got a little button that says Danny. He's got a little button that says Andy. He's got a little button that says Lee. He's got a little button that says Jason. And any time it just pleases Him, the Lord can just reach over and just go pop, and you're gone. You know, here's like what's an awful sin, awful thing to insult God? Because He's got your life in His hands. I'm telling you, but I heard about this guy that went out in a lightning storm and shook his fist up toward God and cursed God and said, you blankety blank, come on, strike me. If you're God, come on. Boy, I'll tell you, if I was sitting up there and I'd zap him with about 100,000 volts, wouldn't you? Just fry him right there. But I'm glad I'm not God. God's a lot better than I am. Listen, I should have been fried. And you should have been fried. But thank God for His mercy. But one of these days, the Lord's going to say, oh, Brother Danny, he's been down there tormenting people about long enough. Pull the plug on him. I'm gone. I'm gone. Every doctor in the world can't keep you alive when God pulls the plug on you. It's an awful thing to insult God. Listen, if somebody says, well, hey, you know what, let's just don't even go to church Sunday night. You just tell them this. Say, look. He can pull the plug on me anytime he wants to. I'm not going to insult him by staying away. People, you may not be the best Christian in the world. You may not be the most spiritual person in the world, but you can respond to God when He gives you an invitation. You can get up. You can get dressed. You can come to church. You can read your Bible. You can pray. I don't want to insult Almighty God when He gives me an invitation by saying thanks, but no thanks. Amen? Now notice some great things here, and then we'll get to these three men. There was three things here that was great. Number one, there was a great supper. A great supper. This man threw a great supper. The biggest and best all around at that time. I mean, he set the table, brother. I mean, he's like one of them big buffets they have from wall to wall. And it had peas and green beans and corn on the cob. And milk and iced tea and steak. I mean, ribeye steak. Fillet mignon. I mean, he had the T-bone. I mean, he had everything in the world on there. I mean, he had fish and catfish and shrimp and all kinds of meat. I mean, exotic meat. Bologna, liver mush. Potted meat. Amen. He had it all on there. For big shots. Big shots. Caviar, potted meat, what's the difference? Same thing. And what did I tell you? He had treats and spam for all the rednecks. He had, that's so everybody'd feel welcome at home. Amen? That's right, brother. He had spam and Coney crackers and had everything on there and sardines, brother. And he had crab legs and lobster and everything. He made a great supper. Lord, he could put it on. I'm just about ready to say, let's just go right now and go get something. I've talked myself into being hungry. But I'm telling you something, brother. I mean, he had yeast rolls that big. I mean, you had to lay something on them and they'd just float right up to the head like you had to get one pepper down like that and butter up this corn in your mouth like that. I mean, brother, he had butter, real butter. Not just stupid, not old fake butter. Not honey butter. You know why they give you honey butter at a restaurant? You can't figure that out? Put some sweet in that mouth. Then you won't notice that steak went with that big. And it'll fill you up. When sheep can steal your money. I don't want no honey butter. I want butter, brother. I want something that's on the bread. Amen. And he put it on that. And he filled it up with Pepsi. And brother, he even had coffee for the backslider. I'm telling you, he had all kinds of things. He made a great supper. It was a great supper. It wasn't a little luncheon. It wasn't just a little picnic lunch. Bible said he made a great supper. I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord has spread the table this morning. He said, come and dine. The Lord's made you a great supper. He got it right here. It's everything you want is in this book. Everything you're hungry for is right here. It's bread. It's honey. It's water. It's meat. It's everything. God's made a great supper for you to come and feast at this morning. Had a great supper. Oh, that had a great invitation. Had a great invitation. The great invitation was, he sent forth his servant and said, all things are now ready. Come on. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is the first say, come. Can you imagine? What if you went to the mailbox or somebody called you and they called you and they said, is this Danny Castle speaking? Usually I hang up on them because two things. Number one, they're wanting to sell you something, and two, they don't speak English. I can't stand talking to people on the phone. I can't understand them. I want to tell one girl, I said, listen, this ain't nothing personal, but could you put somebody on here to talk? They I don't know where they come from. They need some other job besides being telephone operators. Amen? Well, anyway, you got one of these things right here. It says, you are cordially invited to the White House in Washington, D.C., and you are invited for a special luncheon, everything paid for, plane ticket, go to Charlotte, get on the airplane, get up there, you will be staying in the Hyatt Regency Hotel there, overlooking Washington, D.C. You are invited with senators and congressmen. They will be serving you everything imaginable. I'll guarantee you, you would feel honored to get an invitation like that. Oh, Lord have mercy. I mean, you would be showing it to everybody. You'd be saying, look here what I got. You'd be saying, you're not going to believe this. You'd call all your friends. I get to go to the White House. I get to go to the White House. Or let's say if you're not impressed with the White House, let's say you went anywhere. On Fox News, any TV channel, whoever your hero is, sports, an athletic event. A race, what if they put you on the Super Bowl and they was going to fly? You'd jump up and down. You'd be telling everybody, free trip to the Super Bowl. Wow! Cool, man, this is great. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Listen, God says, come and dine. The Lord said, I'm going to give you food for your hungry soul. The Lord said, I'm going to give you it's a great invitation. The invitation is great. Listen, people don't understand it, but when we have that pianist come over here a while ago, in a minute, and this man comes up here, and we sing, come to the waters, come to the fountain, come you weary, heavy laden, just as I am. When we sing that is God Almighty giving you an invitation to come. That is a higher honor than anybody in this world could ever bestow on you. Great invitation. And then there's a great readiness. Henry sent him in and go, said, all things are now ready. Let me tell you what's ready. If you're here this morning and your life's messed up, let me tell you what God has ready. Right here, this morning, the Holy Ghost is ready to regenerate you. The Holy Spirit of God is in this room today and will change your heart. The Holy Spirit's ready. The Holy Spirit's ready. As matter of fact, nobody gets saved apart from the Holy Spirit working in their heart. The Holy Spirit right now is working. Right now while I'm preaching, there's something inside saying, yeah, he's right. You better listen. This is your day. You need to do something. And then there's a voice on the other shoulder saying, don't go out and get you a drink of water. You're about to die. You ain't used the bathroom in 8 minutes. Go try it again. And the devil's trying to talk you out of it. But right now, the Lord, through His Spirit, is convicting you. And He's saying, come. I'm telling you, the Spirit is ready. I'll never forget the night I got saved. Never, 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 never. I was 18 years old, and the preacher was up. The singers were up singing. And, buddy, there was something pulled on me that it wasn't that preacher. And it wasn't them singers. There was somebody bigger than me in that church that day. And it was the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit says, come. Not only that, the church is ready. The Holy Spirit's ready. The church is ready. We're ready, ain't we, church? We're ready for somebody to get saved this morning. I'm ready to see somebody come to the altar and get right with God. You know, this is our third Sunday in this new building. And every way that I wake up and I think, is it really true? I mean, do we really have a church building now? I remember, I'm telling you what, brother, I prayed and I prayed, and I remember thinking, Lord, you know, and I remember when we first moved in, I said, Lord, when is the first person going to get saved? When is the first person going to get saved? And she told me that some kids got saved in Sunday school class, and I said, hallelujah, but I want to see somebody saved at the altar. Nobody got saved Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Last Sunday morning, old brother, business picked up. Last Sunday morning, Father's Day, the Spirit of the Lord was working in here. And Aunt Marty got saved right here on this altar. This was the first spot that somebody responded to the invitation and got saved. Right there. Brother Moses led him to the Lord. He led the first soul to the Lord right here in this building. I'm telling you, the church is ready. The church. Listen, I'm hungry. And I want to get my daughters and go get something to eat a little bit, but it wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit if 100 people run in that door and said, we want to get saved. Would that bother y'all? Lord, have mercy, no. We'd scream our guts out. I'm telling you what, brother, we'd shout the roof off the building. I'm telling you, the church is ready. Church is ready. We didn't build this to look at. I like to look at it. I came in here the other night and I just sat and I just, wow. Amen. I'm telling you, it's beautiful to look at, but I wouldn't have went to that much trouble just to look at something. We built it so that people could walk these aisles, pair miles, and tap them seats and them seats and pour out the heart. I want to see tear stains on the carpet. I'm telling you, the church is ready. All that, the Word of God's ready to preach and to work in your life. The Bible said it's quick and powerful. This Scripture is still alive. I don't care what they say. I don't care how many politicians tell you the Koran and the Bible is the same thing. The Koran is a dead book. The Koran is a dead book. Muhammad is a dead follower, and Allah is a dead God. You say, well, you can't say that you're right. No, they're all wrong. I didn't say that. You ain't listen. I said, that Bible's right, and anybody disagrees with it's wrong. It ain't got nothing to do with me. You say, well, I have my opinion, and you have, I know. Opinions like orange pants. Everybody got two, and they both stink. It don't matter what your opinion is. I couldn't care less. It's what God Almighty said, and the truth is being borne out. God wrote this book, and the Koran's alive. Say amen. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to be apologetic to the terrorists and equate Islam with Christianity. And what they're saying is, if we'll be nice to them and everybody will be sweet and we'll say their religion is as good as ours and vote somebody in for president that sounds like one of them's name or something, maybe they won't bomb us no more. I'm telling you something, brother, that ain't the kind of language them people understand. We ought to take our stand and say, this book built this country. This book, our nation was built. You come Sunday morning on the 6th. I'm going to show you a video on that Sunday morning. Listen, that every congressman in this country needs to watch and see. This book built this nation. Our nation's capital, our Constitution was founded upon this book. The Word of God is ready for you to come this morning. Amen. The preacher is ready to pray with you. I said a minute ago, right now, right now. There's 100 people busted in them doors right now and said, we want to come get saved. I could just shut her down right here and come down over and let's just all pray and lead people to the Lord. The preacher's ready. The church is ready. The Holy Spirit's ready. The Word of God's ready. Not only that, angels are ready to protect you. Angels. God will send angels just to work in your life. You got a lot of problems this morning? If you'll come to the Lord, God will send an angel with you as you leave today to take care of you and work out your problem. You know what our trouble is? We think we're smart and we can work out our trouble ourselves. And we say, now I ain't ready to come to church yet because, like these three men, I got a lot of trouble in my life. I've got something going on in my life. I need to do this. I need to do that. When all you need to do this morning is get out of your seat, walk right down here and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you, and the Lord is ready. The Lord's ready. The church is ready. The Spirit's ready. The preacher's ready. He said, all things are now ready. That's what he told them. That's what he told them. All things. Angels are ready. Not only that, heaven is ready. Heaven is ready to receive you. There's a place up there for you. It's not overcrowded. There's room at the cross. Those millions have come. There's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross. I have the privilege this morning of saying, the gates are open. Come this morning. All things are now ready. Now let's look at these three men right quick. One of them had something to see. One of them had something to do. And the other one had something to enjoy. And that was their excuse. One of them had something to see. He had bought some land and wanted to go see it. He's pictures of a man that all he thinks about is his business, his work, his land. There's millions of them. I talked to men on airplanes that said, I work 7 days a week. Like that's supposed to be all right. God should understand. God don't understand that. You're insulting God Almighty when you say, I don't care what he says. I'm going to do what I want to do. Heck with you, God. That's what the world said. Ladies and gentlemen, he had something to see. Now, what kind of nut would buy ground that he ain't even ever seen? Maybe if it's in Texas or somewhere like that, it all looks like. But normally, if you buy a piece of land, you'd want to see it. But he didn't do it. He had something to see. Amen? I'm telling you, I've seen a few places in this world. I've seen enough of this world to make me realize that whatever it is inside you that's missing, the world ain't got it. I've not been everywhere, but I sure been around for the last 30-something years. One thing I got to do preaching ever since I was 19, I've been preaching revival since I was 19 years old. And I started traveling in my early 20s, way up in Michigan and Canada and everywhere. I couldn't believe it. I said, who in the world? How'd they even know about me? Where did these people find my phone? I've had preachers ask me over and over, how'd you get started? How'd you get started? I said, I don't know. I answered the phone. I didn't put out no resume. I didn't hint around and say, wouldn't you like for me to, listen, if you have to do that, you ain't got nothing. I'm telling you something, brother. I tell God, God opened that door, and I'm telling you, I've traveled a little bit. And the first time I went to Michigan, I thought, wow, this is Ohio. Wow, this is Ohio. Wow, this is Michigan. I'm in Michigan. Cool. Man, but after you've done that about 30 times, you figure out all exits have a Waffle House. And some of them got two. You're really in a redneck town when they got two Waffle Houses on the same exit. All of them, all of them, the grass grows the same. And I've been saying motels. Up Niagara Falls, and that's pretty, but after you see it, you still feel the same as you did before you saw it. He said, I must go and see my ground. I know people that all they want to do is travel and see the world. I got news for you. It's pretty. I've seen the Grand Canyon. I've been walked around the Grand Canyon. I've walked down the Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood where they put the stars. I just walked right on. I stuck my foot right on every one of them. Looked up that big Hollywood sign. Big deal. You say, "Oh, I'd love to see." I went to see Universal Studios, and I've been to Florida, and then all over Texas, and all over New York City on top of the Empire State Building, and then Ireland, and seen Scotland and Germany, and preached over there. And guess what? It ain't a bit different than Morganton when it comes right down to it. The food, Pepsi, Snicker bars, a loaf of bread, they're all the same. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's an insult to God to go traveling all over creation every Sunday and say no to Him. You're insulting Him. How dare you? How dare you? Next fella had something to do. He had went and bought him a bunch of cows and had to go prove them. He had work. Always something to do. You ever met this crowd? Every time you try to get them to church, it's something. If it ain't this, it's that. If it ain't this, I know people, every time I see them, I know them 30 years. When you come to church, "Well, I've got to do this. And mama's sick. Daddy's been feeling bad. And my aunt stumped her toe. And we're going to go be with her." I said, "Why don't you go be with her on Saturday? Why don't you go be with her? "Well, I had to cut my grass. Why don't you go up north? Why don't you go up in the mountains Monday?" "Well, I got to work." That proves where your priorities are. You know what you're saying? God, thanks, but no thanks. I don't care what you've done for me. I don't care if your son did bleed and die. I don't care if you can pull a plug on me. I'm going to do what I want to do. He had something to do. The third one had something to enjoy. Just a pleasure. He got married, want to go on his honeymoon, living for the flesh, fun, races, ball games, the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh. And I'm going to tell you something. The result was an angry God. Bible said he got mad. Bible said he got mad. On October the 8th, 1871, on Sunday night, the great evangelist D.L. Moody preached in Chicago. Back in those days, preachers didn't always give invitations. Some didn't. Some did. And D.L. Moody preached that night on "What Shall I Do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And he told that audience that morning, he said, "I'm going to give you a week to think about this." And he said, "Next Sunday night, come back, and I'm going to preach on what will you do with Jesus." And Ira Sankey was D.L. Moody's famous songwriter. Stayed with him for years and years. And seems like every great preacher, like Billy Graham had, George Bailey Shea and all them guys that stayed with him for years. Ira Sankey stayed right with Billy Sunday. And God used his singing to draw thousands with D.L. Moody. And draw thousands to the Lord. And Ira Sankey got up and they sang that song. And it said, "Old soul, the Savior calls, death is nigh." And before he got through singing that song, they heard the noise of fire trucks coming down the streets of Chicago. And sirens. And they had to run out of the building. And the next morning, that was the night of the great Chicago fire. You probably heard about it in school. And the whole city of Chicago nearly was burned to ashes for the next day. And I don't know how many people died out of that crowd. And the last thing they heard D.L. Moody say was, "I'll wait till next Sunday and I'm going to preach on what will you do with Christ." And after that, D.L. Moody said, "I'll never, ever preach again without giving men a chance to come and respond, because it might be your last chance." There's not a person in this room today knows for sure you're going to be alive by the time we come back tonight. The Lord says, "Come." Don't insult Him. Don't insult Him by walking out of here and saying, "I don't care what He says. Now come on." Don't insult Him by saying, "I don't care what He says. I'm going to do what I want to do." Those three men insulted God. And the Bible said he got angry and he just went out and said, "Well, fool you on them. Go get somebody that will come." I hope the Lord don't say that about me. I don't want the Lord to say, "Danny, you insulted me." I want to say, "Yes, Lord." Is He speaking to your heart today? Is He speaking to your heart today?